misquote a verse, I'd say, you know, the Bible says we're accepted in the Beloved. But it doesn't actually say that. It says he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. There is a difference. Amen. And I'm thankful for how just what I got when I got saved. Amen. Can you believe my fortune? Oh boy, from my birth, then I found out my father was a king of all the earth. In him I am far richer than I could have expected. The best of all is the joy of knowing I am accepted. Hey, I'm accepted. How blessed can someone be? I accepted Jesus, and the good news is he accepted me. Hey, I'm okay. He washed my sins away. I'll never be rejected. Hey, I'm accepted. No more worrying about my little harmless quirks. No more trying to earn his love through my righteous works. Each day he's molding, shaping me until I am perfected. Right now I know in Jesus Christ I am accepted. Hey, I'm accepted. How blessed can someone be?
I accept
Jesus. And the good news is he accepted me. Hey, I'm okay. He washed my sins away. I'll never be rejected. Accepted in the number of those who are set free. Accepted as a member of God's great big family. Accepted by the perfect one, imperfect as I am. Accepted and invited to the supper of the Lamb. Hey, I'm accepted. How blessed can someone be? I accepted Jesus. And the good news is he accepted me. Hey, I'm okay. He washed my sins away. I'll never be rejected. Never feel neglected. Hey, I'm accepted. Amen. Amen. Every time I sing that song, I think about something happened. I candidated for a church like 4 or 5 years ago, and really, I didn't think I was supposed to be a pastor, but I had preached for that church for 20 years under two different pastors, and I really wanted to get the right man, and so they asked me to candidate, so I did. That was in July. They didn't vote till October, and you had to have 90% of the vote, and I had 85%, so I didn't get the vote. Now, but I really didn't want the church until I didn't get the vote. It bothered me. Amen. It really bothered me. You know, they called me Sunday night. The deacon had called me. He was upset because he just knew that we were going to be coming, you know. And so I couldn't sleep, you know, and finally got to sleep, woke up and just depressed. And I hadn't told anybody that I was, you know, candidate for. The evangelist friends and told them that I didn't get the vote. And one of my friends texted me back. He said, hey, you're okay. He washed your sins away. You'll never be neglected, although you were rejected. And then he calls me. I mean, as soon as I get the text, he calls, brother, maybe I shouldn't have sent that. Are you okay? I said, you know what? I wasn't until I got your text. Amen. Amen. Good to have good friends. Amen. Amen. Well, Let's sing one other. Miss Blanco, do you have a request? I like putting her on the spot. Amen. Okay. We have it. Amen.
This old world is filled with disappointments and trouble every day. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. And that's the reason I can sing as I go. children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we're gonna sit down beside the river. How we long to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. There's a land that's filled with milk and honey. And it's waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over that sea. So I just keep on watching and waiting in this troubled world below. And that's one thought. Oh, it keeps me singing as I go. Oh, we're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we're gonna sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day.
Thank the Lord. I'd like to make an announcement. He that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. Amen. I look forward to him coming back and getting us. And I heard some guy criticizing that. This battery is no good. Whoever is in charge of it. Oh, it's green now. We'll see how long that lasts. Amen. He said, you people believe in the rapture. You're just looking forward to your disappearing, not his appearing. And I said, it all happens at the same time. Amen. I look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I know he is coming. Amen. I made a promise, and I'm going to keep my promise, but I'm going to kind of vary. I preached half a message last week, and I told you to finish this week. I'm going to give you the 3 points, and I'm going to preach something else. So anybody remember the first 3 points? First of all, to give diligence to what? To make your calling and election sure. Okay, make sure you're saved. And does anybody remember why we should do this? Because we're supposed to be disciples, disciplined ones. These are disciplines we ought to do. So, make our call and election sure. Secondly, it says, with all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, all through that list. And I asked you last week, do you know where you are on that list? Did you look up the list this week? Amen. That's discipline. Amen. We shouldn't just go to church and hear stuff and then go home and live wherever we're going to live. It ought to change us. Church ought to change us. Listen, I don't come to church because I'm good and got all my ducks in a row. I come to church because I'm bad. My ducks are all over the place. Amen. I want some help. Amen. And so, number one, make your call and election sure. Number two, add those things to your life. 2 Peter chapter 1. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. Does anybody remember the title? Boy, I'd hate to give a test today. Amen. How to have a supernatural, normal Christian life. Because a Christian life
ought to be a supernatural life. It should be, but that should be the norm for Christians. And you read in the book of Acts, there were normal people doing supernatural things. And so I want to live a supernatural life, and I think I should. I think you should live a supernatural life. So make your call and election sure. Add those things to your life. Be filled with the Spirit. Number three is found in Romans chapter 6. And Paul said it a different way, but in Romans chapter 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Then it says to reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And then yield your members as members of righteousness. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So the crucified life, live the crucified life. It's a done deal. It's already done. Paul said, I am crucified. He didn't say he should be. He was trying to be. No, we are. We are crucified with him. So Paul said, I die daily. So it's a daily thing, a daily thing. That cross life is a daily thing. You know, and there's a lot of people, those deeper life people. I'd rather be a deeper lifer than a shallow lifer. Amen. That's what they talk about, the crucified life. You know, Ellie Maxwell and Watchman Nee and guys like that and all those. Amen. Listen. If you're not what you need to be, you can hand out all the tracts you want to, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you're not dying to self every day and all these things that we've talked about here, you're not going to be effective as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's something. What we are and who we are is as important as what we're representing and who we're representing. Amen. We're representing Jesus Christ, but we ought to be like him. Amen. So the crucified life is number four. That's in Romans chapter 6. Next is Philippians chapter 2, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Now, how many think we ought to have the mind of Christ? Two or three of you. Amen. Okay. Anyway, some people don't like raising their hands. Amen. How hard is it to have the mind of Christ? In verse 5 of Romans chapter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the first word is let. How much work is involved in letting something happen? There's no work involved in it. As a matter of fact, I think I'm just going to go ahead and finish the message, Brother Nathan. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Would you turn there, please? Philippians chapter 2. That key word, let this mind, and that word is in there two or three times. If the mind of Christ is that available, then why do Christians not have the mind of Christ if it's that available? If all you have to do is let it and you have it. And are we on the same page about letting? If Milani was mad at me and he said, I'm just going to punch you out, I'm afraid I would not let him do it. Y'all with me? But to not let him do it would require work. Are you still with me? If I didn't let him do it, that would require work. The mind of Christ does not require work. It requires work not to have the mind of Christ. Well, let's look and see maybe why Christians and why, come on, let's put ourselves in there, why sometimes we don't have the mind of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 2, if fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, we're talking about having the mind of Christ, it'd be good for the whole church to have the mind of Christ, having the same love, being of one accord, what does it say? One mind. Listen, you show me three Baptists, and I'll show you four opinions. Amen. So how can you get two people, much less a church full of people, with the same mind if everybody has the mind of Christ? That's the only way. And so why don't we have the mind of Christ? Why would we be fighting the mind of Christ? Let's look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. There's maybe putting on the brakes from having the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is to esteem other better than yourself. What does that mean? That means you place a value on other people. You count them higher, better than you are. That's the mind of Christ. So I want to do a little visual aid here. I want you people on this side, turn your little pointed heads this way, and you put a value on them higher than you. Well, I know some of those people are not. Well, you're never going to have the mind of Christ. Now, number one, whoever's perfect in here, we wish you would leave. Amen. Anybody here have perfect children? They think they are? I don't know how perfect kids come from imperfect parents, because we get ripped up all the time by how bad we were, but they turned out perfect. You know, I don't understand that. But listen, there's nobody in here perfect. As far as I know, we still sin. Our pastor, our beloved pastor, you ever sinned? He shook his head, yeah. If you didn't look back there, he shook his head. So I'm just saying, for you to look over here and esteem them better than you, that is going to take grace. But they're in the same shape you are. Are y'all trying? You want to do right? Does it make you feel bad when you fail? You see their heads pointing, shaking like that? I mean, you say, well, I know their faults. They do too. They're not happy about it. The mind of Christ is esteem other better than yourself. I've got a feeling there'd be less criticism if we esteemed other better than ourselves. There would certainly be no church rifts if everybody was esteeming other better than themselves. Do you see why maybe we might fight the mind of Christ? Because if you're going to let this mind be in you, you're going to start placing more value on other people than you are yourself. By the way, that's Christ's mind. That's what he did. All right, let's keep reading, and we might see other reasons why we might fight the mind of Christ. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You place a value on other people's problems, other people's needs, other people's cares, their financial problems, if they have marital problems, if they had kid problems. You pray for them like you lost your job. You pray for them like you have the marital problems. You pray like it's your wayward child. You pray. Listen, that's how you pray. You look not every man on his own things. There's other people out there. And whatever you're going through, I'm telling you what, right now, there's somebody else worse than you are. They're having some hard times. And you know, there's a passage in Mark chapter 4 about Jesus, you know, when the storm comes like that. But the Bible says, there's this little bitty phrase in one of those verses that says, and there were also with him other little ships. You know what? Nobody ever preaches on those other little ships. I mean, we're just interested in the big ship that we're in. But God was particular and specific in putting, hey, there were other little ships there too. And listen, if that storm was affecting these, listen, half that ship was full of fishermen that had lived on that lake. And if they're fearful for their lives, in that big boat, I mean, there's at least 13 people in there, how are they doing in those little things? I'm telling you, not only to esteem other better than yourselves, but just don't pay attention to your own things. Pay attention to other people's things, their cares, their worries. Is that not what Jesus did? How many miracles did Jesus perform for himself? It was always for others. He had opportunities after he fasted 40 days. He had opportunities to make stones to bread. All those things. He had opportunities. Hey, if thou be the Christ, come down and save us. He had the opportunity to do. He didn't do that. That wasn't his mind. And it shouldn't be our mind. All right, let's keep reading here. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. To have the mind of Christ, you can't care what people think about you. Preacher is talking about soul winning. That's why a lot of people don't win souls, because they're scared of what people are going to think about them. I'm sorry you're that important where you got to worry about what people think about you. Hey, we're nothing. We're nobody. But we're representing somebody who could save everybody. Amen. Yes. You can't be worried about your reputation. Jesus, listen, they accused him of, he's a friend of sinners. He's a friend of gluttonous and wine bibbers. And when did he defend himself? He never did. He didn't care what people thought about him. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. There's a lot of people that won't preach. There's a lot of people that won't sing behind, you know, they won't sing up front because they're scared they're going to make a mistake because they're so important. Amen. Let me. The older I get, the more mistakes I'm. You know, oh, Brother Blanco, you're never scared up there. Oh yeah. How come I forget words all the time? I get scared to death up there. But listen, if you try to do anything, you're going to make a mistake. Don't let your pride get in the way. Amen. Don't worry about what people think about you. Amen. That's the mind of Christ. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. We started a Christian school years ago. I was in Rossville, Georgia. And you had to be a member of our church to put your children in the school. And so there were people in our neighborhood, in our town, that wanted to put their kids in a Christian school, but their church didn't have one. So if they were interested in our school, they had to be interested in our church. So they were calling our church. And this is the basic conversation. What do you have for the senior saints? What do you have for the teenagers? What do you have for, and all, you know, how can you serve me? Now, one person called and says, is there a job for me there? Can I do something there? Is there an opportunity for some kind of service there? And I'm telling you what, Christians, a lot of Christians, they're looking to be served. They're not looking to serve. I don't know how many preachers that I've seen, and after church is over, everybody's gone, and the preachers are straightening up song books and picking up a little piece of paper off the floor. That's a servant. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's the mind of Christ. Amen. To serve. Took on him. And by the way, who are we talking about here that became servant? God. And we don't measure up. You know, we're not God. If God can serve, guess what? We can serve. We can serve. Well, here we go. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Do you know what? If we humbled ourselves, we would never be offended. How can you offend somebody who don't count? You know, people get their feelings hurt all the time. It's because they're too important. You know, Paul said something, and it's I'm taking this out of context. I'm ahead of time, I'm telling you this. But he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Remember when he said that? That's what humbling yourself means. You don't count. You don't get to vote. You don't have an opinion. Oh, I left that church. You know, some people bust churches open because they're going to have a building program, and some want blue carpet, some want red. Who cares? Most of you men are colorblind anyway. Amen. But it's important. Amen. No, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now we're back to the crucified life. I mean, Jesus Christ's mind, what was to esteem other better than himself. Jesus Christ's mind was to look not on his own things, but the things of others. Jesus Christ's mind was to humble himself. Jesus Christ's mind was to be a servant. Jesus Christ's mind was to go to that cross for others. And that's what a Christian's life is supposed to be. Him first and others. That's it. And we don't count. That's the mind of Christ. Let. Just let it. Stop fighting it. Let the mind of Christ be in you like it was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Last of all, turn your Bibles over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And again, I'm not saying this to be mean, but I'm saying there are disciplines that Christians ought to do every day, and one of them is to put on the whole armor of God. Did you today? Did you? My son did a term, whatever they call it, in Iraq. He got hurt over there, but I think he'd been there 4 months, and they give them an option to have 2 weeks of R&R in their deployment, or their year deployment, Thanksgiving, Christmas, or their birthday. And so the first one was Thanksgiving, so that's when he came home, first time he had a chance. Came home for 2 weeks of R&R. Rest. Relaxation. He's been in war for 4 months, and now he's supposed to relax, and now he's supposed to rest. He's been living on adrenaline for 4 months, and now no adrenaline. He's supposed to rest, and he's supposed to relax. He's a soldier. His wife said every time he would go out of the house, he would reach in the corner by the door and kind of step back and then go out the door. She said after about the fifth time of reaching over there and then stepping back and going out the door, she said, "Honey, why do you always reach over there?" He said, "For my weapon." He'd been in war 4 months, and he knew that you can't go out the door without your weapon. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you're not packing? I'm a deer hunter. I have nightmares. I don't think I've ever done it, but I have nightmares of getting to the woods. I don't like getting up early in the morning. I'm an evangelist. Amen. I don't like getting up early in the morning. I don't like dark. I don't like the woods, but I like deer hunt. And so, but I dream about finally getting to the woods, and I forgot my bow. I left the bow at the house. I've driven all this way. I paid the price, and I left my bow at the house. It's never happened, but I dream about it. It's bad enough dreaming about it. Amen. Listen. Were you packing today? And you understand the armor of God. I mean, the sword of the Spirit. Did you read your Bibles today? How many have ever read through your Bibles? Raise your hand. From Genesis to Revelation, read through. How many have tried it numerous times and didn't accomplish it? Raise your hand. Okay, me and a few others. It takes discipline. I preached to the teenagers Friday night, I guess, when I talk about this. But the only way that I finally read through my Bible in a year was I made a vow. January 1st, that's when people do it, amen, or December 31st. I promise God, I say, God, I promise you, every day this year, I will not go to bed unless I've read at least 3 chapters out of the Bible. I promise you. I like Genesis. I like history. I like Exodus. I mean, Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner, you know, Red Sea and all, amen. I like Leviticus, I mean, and field dressing, all them animals and stuff. And, you know, amen, I love that stuff. But usually when you get around Chronicles, my wife was having trouble in Judges today, or yesterday, something about the names, amen. But the inheritances, all those cities, you know, they were getting. But somewhere, you don't read it all. I mean, you're bored and you're reading all these. Who would name their kids this? And you know, and you get behind, and then the next day, you got to read 5 chapters, and it's still those names, you know. And but I'm sure that time came up. I'm sure that's probably where I was in Chronicles somewhere. One night I was getting ready to go to bed, Brother Ted, and God said, "You didn't read the 3 chapters." I said, "Well, yeah, I'll make it up tomorrow. I promise you, I'll make it." He said, "Yeah, but you promised me you'd read 3 chapters every day. You promised me." So I've read my 3 chapters, and I got through my Bible that year. And I've done it for 35 years going. But I had to make a vow. Well, listen, you're going to be a soldier, and you're not going to learn how to use your sword. And it's not just reading. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Work. Oh, there it is. The work. It's work to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. You know, there's cults all over this island. You know, most of those cults got their doctrine. You know where they got it from? The Bible. Because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. You know what most Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Halls are full of? Baptists, dumb Baptists. Dumb Baptists. You see, we win souls. We go out and we win souls. I mean, we go door to door. We hand out tracts. And then these people get saved, and then they're not trained. They don't study. And then a JW comes to the door, and, you know, we got... Yeah, and they go. Goodbye. Mormons, same way. I mean, the sword, the shield of faith. I hope y'all getting this tonight. Brother, I'm looking at people here. I know some of their parents. I've been coming here about 25 years now, and it breaks my heart of people who would have been here, but they messed up their lives, and a lot of it because they were not disciplined. They just didn't make it. And I want to see you make it. I want to see you make it. But if you're going to make it, you're going to have a disciplined life. I know in Hawaii, in discipline, on, hang loose, amen. Hawaii and discipline. But as a Christian, you're going to have to go against the grain in Hawaii and discipline your lives as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Make your call and election sure. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, temperance, on down the list. Die daily. Be filled with the Spirit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Put on the whole armor of God. You might make it. You might just make it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and appreciate the word of God. God, I pray you'd help us as Christians to also be disciples, to be disciplined. God, please use this message. I pray that this would be something people can take home and incorporate into their lives and to realize, Lord, that they want to be a supernatural, normal Christian. God, just have your way, I pray. Thank you for this pastor and thank you for this church. Appreciate what you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, preacher.